We're having a class on the book of Koheles, otherwise known as Ecclesiastes, one of the works written by King Solomon. All of Shlomo HaMelech's works, all of King Solomon's works appear in Kesuvim, in writings, and according to some, that is indicative of the fact that King Solomon did not have prophecy. He had Ruach HaKodesh, he had a lower level of a vision, of an understanding, but he never had prophecy. Others say he did have prophecy. So you have machlokas, whether this book is prophetic or it's of a Ruach HaKodesh, of a nature of a godly inspiration. It's definitely canonized. It's part of the Tanakh. It was canonized very late. There were still arguments about whether it should be canonized after the destruction of the Second Temple. You had arguments about whether Koheles belongs in the books of Tanakh. There was machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the sages. The book of Koheles is a book compiled by Shlomo HaMelech. When did he compile this work? So Shlomo HaMelech compiled three works. Who knows what are the three works he compiled? Koheles, Shir Shirim, and Mishlei. So Shir Shirim is a love song. Mishlei is Proverbs, and Koheles is philosophy. So Mishlei is giving you advice on how to lead a good, moral, productive, successful, smart life. Koheles is searching. What's the meaning of life? So people like to say, when he was a youngster, he wrote Shir Shirim. When he was middle-aged, he was searching. He wrote Koheles. When he reached his old age, he wrote Mishlei, teach you what to do, son. Chazal tell us that, according to one opinion, he wrote them all at the same time. Because it wasn't that he had to evolve. He, at age 12, he already had his first prophetic vision. So it's not like his love song is like our love song. So he wrote all three, either middle age or at the end of his life. The Talmud tells us in Gittin that when Shlomo HaMelech, conquered one thing after another, he wanted to conquer, and he succeeded in conquering even the head of the demons named Ashmedai. And one time he asked Ashmedai a question, and Ashmedai said, well, I could show you, I can't tell you. And so Ashmedai tricked King Solomon into freeing him from his chains. And when King Solomon freed him, he swiftly, in one second, lifted him up and spat him out a great distance and got dressed up as King Solomon and took over the kingdom. And the Talmud agrees that this happens. There's a machlokas in Talmud whether King Solomon ever made it back to the throne. It seems one of the more prevalent opinions in Talmud is that King Solomon died unknown, died a pauper, spent the last period of his life walking around claiming he was Solomon, and no one believed him. And it was at that period that he wrote this book of Koheles. It was at that period when no one would recognize him, and he kept pleading, I am Solomon, I am Solomon, and they said, right, and I'm the Messiah, right? No one accepted it. So we will see the verse shortly where King Solomon says, I used to be king over Israel and Jerusalem. He used to be, he isn't anymore. After he died, and they finally discovered that the man on the throne was a farce, not even a man on the throne. That was when they went searching and they found his body and they buried him, and then they took his works and they held on to them, etc. So with that in mind, let's begin. Koheles is different than all the other works of Tanakh in that Koheles is searching, and we discussed that part of what he's teaching us is the search. It's different than the other books of Tanakh because it's written as though he's experimenting. Now, couldn't Koheles have a good editor just slice out all the mistakes and give me the bottom line? The answer is no. Koheles was coming to teach us where people might go philosophically and where they should go philosophically. And that's why it was so important for Koheles to incorporate these deliberations. But at first glance, you read Koheles, and that's why our sages were questioning whether to canonize Koheles, because they said people are going to look at Koheles and say, what kind of prophet was this? Just ask God. He's not sure what's important in life. That's prophecy. That's a good book of philosophy. What does that have to do with prophecy? And that's why the sages weren't sure if people would get the right message from Koheles. So they waited a few centuries before they even initiated canonizing Koheles. And it was only towards the end of the First Temple that the rabbis agreed to canonize it, and it remained in question for another few centuries until the rabbis finally concluded to include it in the Tanakh. Yes?
When you say that it's like a philosophical piece on the search, what do you mean by the search?
You'll see. Let's see it inside. Okay. Shall we? Let's begin. Divrei Kohelet ben David, Melech Birushalayim. The words of Koheles. What does the word Koheles mean? So Kahal is a gathering. And the idea is that Shlomo Melech is called Koheles because he's gathering together all the different angles you might want to take on life. The different compromises you might want to find in your attitudes towards life, in the balance you're going to have towards life. So that's why he is nicknamed Koheles, the one who gathered Ben David, the son of King David, who was also exceptionally wise. Melech Birushalayim. He was king over Jerusalem, a city filled with wise people. Havel Havalim Amar Kohelet. Havel Havalim Hakol Havel. King Solomon says, everything is Hevel. What does Hevel mean? Hevel means finite. Nothing's infinite. Everything passes from the world. What is the first thing that passed from the world? Hevel, right? We know Abel was the first thing that passed from the world. What was the first thing? Yeah, the first man to die. First man to pass from the world. Hevel. So when we speak about things passing from the world, the word Hevel denotes this idea that it's passing, it's fleeting, it is not infinite. And here you see what bothers Shlomo, and it bothers every person on some level, is that at first glance it seems like there's an end. And if there's an end, then everything you have is timed. It's not only your life that's timed. At first glance, we would say all of life and everything you have is timed. And there's that drive to connect to the infinite, and we will see that there's a capacity. Most people think their capacity to connect to the infinite is how? By having kids. By building buildings and writing on it, Trump Towers. But we're going to see another way to become eternal. So, Shlomo HaMelech says, Havel Havalim Amar Kohelet. Shlomo HaMelech says, things are so finite. I developed a massive kingdom. I rule the world. All the kings of the world used to pay tribute to Shlomo. And yet Shlomo HaMelech recognized that when his children would come, they would not keep it up, and the kingdom would crumble. And so Shlomo looks at all his accomplishments and says, it's finite. I'm finite. Everything's finite. Havel Havalim Hakol Havel. He builds a temple, and Shlomo HaMelech knows that the temple too will be destroyed. The people of Israel will be exiled. So he looks around him and he says, what's eternal in this world? Even the spiritual accomplishments I've achieved are going to be destroyed. I've been working, my father's been working. To what end? Ma'itron la'adam b'chol amalo she'yamol tachat ha'shamesh. What does a person have in the end? What does he have to show for all his toil that he works under the sun? You work within the system, within the finite system, and you amass the greatest wealth. So what? What are you going to have to show for it ultimately? Ma'iton la'adam. What does a person have after he passes from the world? B'chol amalo, from everything he worked for, tachat ha'shamesh, under the sun, meaning in this world. So here, some of the commentaries say he's alluding to the capacity to work for something that's not in this world. He's alluding, some want to say he's already alluding to the ultimate idea, you can connect to the infinite through Torah. But the simple reading is he's not saying that. Some commentaries, Rashi, the Targum, they want to say that that's why he's stuck in the words tachat ha-shemesh, under the sun over here, where he's indicating, yeah, if you're going to work within the finite world, then everything you do is finite and it all comes to an end. but you have the capacity to connect to the infinite, and that is through the Torah. But, okay, that's you can argue. I mean, you could interpret this way or that way. Dor holech v'dor ba v'ha'aretz lo lamomadet. This generation passes, another generation comes. So what are you amassing your wealth for? To give it to your kids? But the land itself, do you think it's going to be eternal? Eventually the land is going to weather. Eventually there's going to be a world war. Eventually everything's going to go. So what are you amassing your wealth for? V'zarach ha-shemesh uva ha-shamesh ve'el mekomo shoef zoreach u'sham. Sun sets, sun rises, sun sets. And then repeats the cycle all over again tomorrow. So, what do we? That's how our lives are. It keeps going again and again. Holech el darom misovev el tzafon sovev sovev olech haruach v'ansevivotav shavaruach. It goes to the north. It goes to the south. Yes, the sun shifts from winter to summer, but at the end of the day, it's going to repeat that cycle all over again. Kol hanechalim olechim el hayam v'hayam einenu maleh. By the same token, the streams, they keep pouring out into the sea, but the sea never fills. El mekom shehanechalim olechim sham im shavim lalachet. All the waters of the world are flowing, but eventually they come back to their source and keep flowing. What's the point? Kol ha'devarim yegeim, says Shlomo HaMelech. Everything in the world is finite. Everything in the world is going to wear down eventually. Kol ha'devarim yegeim. A person thinks, I'll work, I'll achieve, I'll rest. But what happens when he does not achieve? He keeps working and keeps working. And Shlomo HaMelech says, nothing is really going to get you to that point of tranquility. We keep thinking, I'll have this, I'll be okay. I'll have that, I'll be okay. I'll get married, I'll be okay. I'll have kids, I'll be okay. I'll have a job, I'll be okay. No. Kol ha'devarim. Everything you strive for, yegeim. You're still going to be striving. You're never going to reach a point where you say, that's it, I'm fine. Life's good. Haven't met one yet. Nope. Huh?
They think they're like cut the spandrels, they deny the soul, and you're fine if you want to live on that just home physical level. They may be fool themselves, but he's right, people do say I'm content. Yeah, yeah, I think they believe it. I do believe they say that because the expectations are so low. It's like you beat somebody down enough and then he doesn't even want to leave jail. Why haven't I met them yet? Who says he's content? Who, Marilyn Monroe? Who, JFK?
I'm saying, you see, she hit what everyone else was dreaming she hit, and then she commits suicide and leaves a note. I realize I'm never going to be happy.
Those people at the very top and really bottom are tough. But the person who says, look, I think I could be totally mistaken, but I think...
Have you met anyone like this?
I've met people like you said who say, and I believe that they believe it. They have no...
I mean, there's some people who are just saying it, but I think that people believe all kinds of things,
and I think if you set your sights low enough, and you feel that, you know, you'd like to live like a nice, well-fed cock spaniel, and you know, you don't hurt anyone, and I think that people will do that, I think.
Okay, I hear.
You've never met anybody that you think really feels that they're connected.
No.
You could be right, like, I'm not...
I mean, look, I have a limited number of people I've met.
Seriously, I mean, you would get a ton of people coming in and out, different things, and you may be looking at them from a higher level, and you could be right. That's what I'm saying. I mean, we could be mistaken. I've felt if people don't have dreams and they don't have aspirations, you think they automatically have to be sad. There's no such thing as ignorance and bliss. If you set your sights low, you're not content, and you're just saying it so that people don't bother you. Okay.
Is he saying here that people can't be content with income?
Let's see.
That's here.
Let's see. He's in the middle of a thought. Lo yuchal ish ledaber. He says, if I can show you how many things people have hopes for and do not realize those hopes and those dreams. So, lo yuchal ish adaber, he says, I can't encompass it. Because there are so many things in life that people have hopes for, and then when they realize their dreams, they're frustrated. Lo yuchal ish adaber, I can't encompass it. I hear, maybe he'll still get to that. What you're saying, Yehuda, is what happens, or what you're saying is, you're both saying, if you don't aspire to attain wholeness from things, you can attain wholeness. I don't think he's denying that. He's saying, kol hadivarim, all material things that you aspire to and think that when you attain them, so then you will have tranquility, that, he says, yigeim. That's not going to get you there. You're saying, but there are people who don't aspire and then they're happy. I don't think he denied that over here.
And I'm not even saying that those people don't have a spiritual element. It's just they don't look to fulfill their potential. You know, I mean, they do have, like you said, some wife, a kid, a job is somewhat. So it's not totally, it's just that to connect with the source of the greater is not something they can, if they consciously, you know, try and aspire to do. It's like,
לא תשבע עין לראות ולא תמלא אוזן משמוע. The eye is never satiated from seeing. The ear is never satiated from hearing. A person never says, I've seen enough. No, a person wants to see and see and see. And a person always wants to hear more. Ve'lo timalei ozen mishemo. He says, I'm never going to encompass. There are so many examples of this. I'm never going to cover it. I'm never going to show you all the examples. I'm never going to tell you all the examples. And that's what he says. I can't lo yuchal ish ledaber. I can't tell all the examples of situations where people have hopes and yegeim, and then they never attain their hopes. So, or in the words of Chazal, en adam mit v'chatzit avato biyado. Person never leaves this world feeling I accomplished half of the material accomplishments I wanted to accomplish. But I want to digress for a minute to another interpretation in the pasuk, because I feel like if you've learned nothing and will learn nothing in the Machon but this interpretation in the pasuk, it was worth your coming to Machon Meir. So I want to digress for just a minute to this interpretation of the pasuk. Okay, we're going off for 1 second. We have a perplexing line in Talmud. The Talmud tells us that in the land of Israel, they had a custom that when a person got married, so the morning after the wedding, they would ask him, Matzah or Motzeh? There are two verses. We're going to see two verses here in Ecclesiastes. One verse says, Matzah Isha Matzah Tov. If he found a woman, he found good in life. And then another verse, King Solomon says, here in Ecclesiastes, Umotzeh ani mar mimavet. I find the woman to be more bitter than death. Boy. Two verses in the same book, same man talking. So the morning after the wedding, they pull the guy over and ask him, which one is she? Is she a matzah or a motzeh? Is she a you found a woman, you found good? Or is she a I'm finding the woman to be more bitter than death? That's a funny thing to ask a guy the morning after the wedding. Imagine you get up to the speech of Sheva Brachos, you say, before I start, just tell me, how's it going, right? And anyways, wait a week, wait a month, you know, her mascara hasn't come off from the wedding yet, and you're asking him, give her a week, you'll get to know her a little bit, then go talk and give her a year. On the 10th anniversary, I understand you asked that question. Well, what's your business anyways? Why are you asking him that question? Is it your business? So we have to understand what the Gemara is talking about. When they asked him the question, they were telling him the answer. When they asked him the question, they weren't asking about the woman. They were asking about him. There are two types of people that enter marriage. Let's begin with how every person enters engagement. You meet the girl of your dreams, and everything goes great, and you decide you're getting engaged. And here's what happens next. Classically, what happens next is you start asking yourself, maybe there's someone better out there. Maybe I'm cutting myself short. Ah, she's good. Now, there's nothing wrong with her, but there are many girls out there, and as we're sitting on the date, a girl walks by, and I tell myself, she looks more beautiful than her. Now, of course, I don't tell her that. And then we're sitting there, and you're thinking to propose, and there's a girl who a kid folds down, and she walks over, and she gently deals with the kid, and you're thinking to yourself, there are more gentle girls than her out there. There are kinder girls than her out there. There are sweeter girls than her out there. And you're sitting there with the ring in your pocket and your mouth goes dry and you're... Oh, I'm not exaggerating. Guys, you will see. When you hit that point where you've decided to get engaged, what starts haunting men is the thought, maybe there's someone better out there. Not only maybe, but you're going to start seeing, this one's better at that, and that one's better at that, and I was up by my friend and his wife was, I shouldn't even be thinking about that.
You become that's more attractive than everybody knew.
What?
The horror really gives you. And you also become people that would never look at you before.
Right.
It also happens. I don't know why, but it does at any age. I can't help you guys in this area, though. Only the rabbi.
I found the same thing was true for Eretz Yisrael as well. Like, when people make Aliyah, and even people who live here, they're like, well, America's richer, and Switzerland's got better mountains, and Italy has a better sea. I mean, they're different countries, you know? They're like,
when you're a tourist, come. Do it, you miss your guy.
So when they were asking him the morning after the wedding, what they were asking him was, what type of husband are you? Are you a husband that's matzah? You've reached a decision and you say, I found it. And you stop looking, and you stop comparing, and you stop thinking about everything else that's out there. If you are a husband that approaches marriage as matzah isha, I found the woman, then matzah tov. You will also be the husband who found good. But if you're a husband that is motzei, you're still finding out. The morning after engagement, you ask yourself, wait a second, what's going on here? I could tell you stories of big people. One of the top students in a certain yeshiva came to Rabbi Feinstein and said, Rabbi, I got engaged last night. So Rabbi Feinstein said, great, we'll take out the whiskey, we'll drink a l'chaim. And the guy says, no, but I'm going to get out of it. I'm going to get out of it. So he says, what happened? Anything wrong? No, nothing's wrong, but I'm going to get out of it. That's normal. That's normal. There's, buyer's remorse. If you are motzei, if you're still finding out, if the morning after engagement, you're still looking, so you're still motzei, so then you know what? You could still be a motzei the morning after the wedding too. You could spend 20 years of marriage looking around and comparing, and then you know what? You will be motzei ani mar mimavet et aisha. I find the woman to be more bitter than death. Guaranteed, and it doesn't matter who you marry. The question is, who are you? So that's why the first morning after the wedding, they stop the guy in Israel and they tell him, how's your marriage doing? Are you a matzah or a motzeh? And the question is about you, not about her. Back to our pasuk. Lotisba ayin lir'ot. The eye is never satiated from seeing. If you want to go looking around, there's always going to be what to see. Velotimaleos in mishamoa. Nor will the ear ever be tired of hearing. If you're still searching, if the wife is like kola devarim, like any other asset I'm trying to purchase, so then yegeim, it'll wear you down, you'll keep looking and you'll never reach satiation. So again, this is taking the concept of the pasuk and applying it. It's not the literal definition of the pasuk, but it's still in line with the idea of the pasuk that if you're looking for divarim, so then lo yuchal ishtadaber, you're never going to be satiated from talking, speaking, hearing. It's never over. We have to pause for 1 minute.